really just a set of entries pointing to two pages, and the entries basically represents a sector. So you see many sectors pointing to the same page. That's basically the thing we were trying to have, because many sectors can have the same data. We can access these by sector and by hash, that is by sector and by content. And yeah, basically with this is how we did the content-based cache. So what happens is, for example, for a read, first the page cache, or the file system making the read call doesn't know anything about content, so just sending a sector read request. So we use this sector to check if there's something in the cache. If there's nothing in the cache, we might have the hash for it saved already. So we use it to see if the page is already there. In case the page is there, we return it, so that's a read key. In case there is a read me, the read goes through the complete IO file, and in return, we hash it and insert it in the structure. And for write, the current implementation is write through cache. So anything, whatever happens, even if there is a write me, a write key, new entries will be directly written into the disk. So again, the details of the current implementation. Reads are checked for caches, new data from write and reads is cached. Write requests are sent immediately after they are seen by the IO deduplication system, write is write true. And the thing is that if there is a read miss, we can use information the knowledge in the structure that many entries, many sectors are pointing to the same page without knowing the page, but we can use this information for finding the, for example, the closest position to the current approximate position of the head. that's what we do. We saw also that, again, could be a good idea to increase the amount of duplication for the IO scheduler to have more options. So we did this with a very basic approach, using a scratch phase all over the disk. In this case, the scratch phase is, the yellow represents scratch phase, and the gray box represents the exported phase. For example, we could have things that we are constantly analyzing the blocks that go through the block layer, and we can get an idea of what the overlaps are, the working set overlaps. So these working set overlaps can be replicated at night at all these scratch spaces. So now, if there is this duplicated space for a read, I think we can pick the one that's closest to the head, like in this example. So there are many, many choices that the scheduler can have. So to improve IO time. Then for the evaluation, we did all of this basically using a trace replay. We used the same traces as the ones used for the motivation. We replaced them at 100x using a modified version of BT replay that uses content and not randomly generated data for the IO. We took measurements of IO times and other IO characteristics using block trace. And all these duplication system was implemented as a Linux kernel module for the kernel 2.6. So we took measurements about cache-related indicators like heat ratio, and we see the same thing that we saw in the motivation, but this time we're limiting the size of the cache. In this figure, we are comparing sector and content heat using a small cache of 4 megabytes and a big cache of 200 megabytes, and in all cases, we see the same. sector, content more frequently. In this case, we were using ARC as the replacement algorithm, and that's because we have a cache below the regular page cache. The regular page cache is usually implemented using LIU, so recency is most likely to be captured in the layer above. So we need some replacement algorithm that takes frequency into account, and one good choice is ARC. So this compares the two, an implementation of the cache using LIU and ARC. The first figure shows only for read. And we see that ARC is more effective. But not as much as in the case for read and write. Then the next experiment was trying to measure the improvement in I/O times because of this new scheduler that uses the fact that content is duplicated all over the disk. So the first figure on the figure on the left shows two lines per workload. The line on the left is without the side duplication system, and one on the right is with the duplication system. So we see a decreasing in I/O time, but with a very large write. But there is a decrease in I/O time for all the workloads. This is mixed. Actually, the one in the middle is male. We repeated the experiment by having this selective duplication feature on. That means that there are many more choices for the scheduler, so the I/O times to be reduced even further. And there. So now we measure things placing all features together, and we see an improvement in I/O time of 47% for the web VM, which was the one with the biggest content to sector heat proportion and the one with a higher degree of duplication. And even for the mail workload, where we had a very little amount of duplication, but where we had this selective duplication feature on, we see an improvement of 28%. That's basically it. So for some future work directions, one is integration with the page cache. That's closely related to the Satori work. Those guys in Satori, for the Satori project, what they propose is deduplicating memory pages, but not a random sampling like VMware ESX does, but instead deduplicating at the moment that the pages are being cached in the system. And that's more or less what we're doing. The difference is that our cache is not the page cache, which in the case of them it is. Another future work relation would be to have a more, more appropriate replacement algorithm, especially designed for content. We don't know what will happen. Another would be to have a more sophisticated I/O scheduler that uses this fact that there's lots can have duplicates in this. And another direction is what to do with writes. Right now, writes are, the cache is right through. We could not have this option and then doing something smarter, but that we don't know what. So that's another direction. Now for summary and conclusion. So basically two conclusions. One is we saw that content can be more frequent and more recent than sectors, so why not using content-based caches? And we saw that for this system, experiment shows that this can be more effective. The same for duplication. There are systems with high level of duplication, so why not use it for reducing I/O? and we saw the same an increase of more than 20% in IR time transactions. So yeah, that's it. Question.
So the cache is under the disk cache.
What?
Is your cache using memory or cache?
Yes.
But it's under the disk cache.
Yes, so there is there are duplicated pages. So we were sorry, can you continue your
My question is why didn't you integrate it with the disk cache?
Well, it's hard. That's the only question. And we leave the work to someone else. For example, there are techniques for the duplicating memory, for example, based on something like the Satori guys do.
But then you have a problem with double cache.
Yeah, we have.
Well, does memory put crypto using the cache or
I don't know how I am in time because I didn't show anything about overhead. What?
Sorry?
Talking about
do we have enough time to show overhead stuff?
I think you finished in about 15 to 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes.
Have plenty of time. That's my question. What is the overhead?
Yeah, we have a lot of data on that. So yeah. I don't have slides though.
I think the audience will be very interested in knowing the overhead.
Do you have that? So basically, what you store in the memory is just it's just a copy of the block or just
this is basically what we have. We have information that maps sectors to pages, and we might have the page or we might have only a hash of the page.
So the results from the overall benchmark, the overall performance, does that capture all the overhead?
Yes, it captures.
It starts from code cache. What is the time there? Can go to that batch?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't mention, this is only for read IO time. Yeah, it's only read IO time.
Only for read IO time. How did you measure it?
What?
You play the trace, right?
Yes.
You play the trace and
then... And then we got a new trace using block trace, and then we can study, for example, to categorize it in this and make sure that it comes through.
Is this a
protocol
expression? Excuse
me?
Is this a protocol expression?
No, this is only read IO time. That's the time spent on IO.
So you play the IO? I will transact it one by one, sequentially.
Excuse me?
How did you replace the trace?
How did I replace the trace?
Replay
the trace. What do you mean?
What I meant is that any concurrency between sequential IO operations?
No.
So you do one after the other.
Yes.
And measure the time of each one.
Yeah. Actually, the way BT replace implemented, it throws bunches of IO requests at the same time. So I think they are like, I don't know, 100?
I think you should specify that that's just IO time.
Yes.
I have a comment here. Basically, you need to talk about the metric that you use. The two metrics, one is cache hit ratio and the other is the total disk busy time.
Yeah, okay.
Right? That's the thing that you're comparing with each other. So this is total disk busy time. It's not per request time.
Total, yes, total.
Including read and write?
No, only read.
Only read.
Only read.
Okay, so I think that needs to be specified in the slide where you start describing the experiment.
Okay.
What are the metrics that you use?
Okay.
Did you timestamp the IOs? Can you replay the...
Yes.
BT replay does that for you.
So BT replay just places the request on the block list?
It sends...
It doesn't
use the base cache, right? No, it doesn't. Well, actually, I think it does, but I mean, I made sure that it's using direct time. Yeah.
So why
do
you
need a
feature
where the
information
there?
Why write handling?
Yes. Well, our write handling is very basic. It's just a write through cache. And the reason we did is because we don't want to change the semantics of the storage system. I mean, once a read IO request is sent by the page guy, it's supposed to go to it. So we're trying to manage it. But maybe we could do something smarter. We don't know.
Did you answer the question? What's the memory overhead?
The memory overhead. I don't have numbers right now, but what I was showing to Sajib is the memory overhead is pretty much one of these yellow structures per sector, which has information about sector. And many of these can point to the same page. In case the page is on memory, we have the 4K page. In case it's not, we have only a hash, a digest.
But you're not doing sector-wise thing, right? You're doing a function-wise thing.
Yes, but you
need to need the hash.
Excuse me?
For each sector, you need the hash.
No, for each page, you need a hash.
But
many sectors can point to the same hash.
But you're doing content-wise, I didn't get it. Not sector-wise, right?
Yes, but you need some mapping. Mapping from entry to sector, from sector to content, right?
So the unit is page.
No, but how I understand is that you want to take the page, and...
Yes, but the page cap doesn't know anything about the content, so you need to map sector to content.
But you're not doing sector-based page. Page is page.
Yes.
This page have multiple sectors.
Exactly.
I think you should animate that with an example, because it's not clear.
Okay.
I mean, even if you see that, I wouldn't even... take as my some invest some time in this in figuring out what it means. It's just too complicated.
Okay.
For 4K page, how many bytes you need for 20?
Well, that depends on the amount of application. If there is no application at all, you have one of these E entries in one page. So it will be 4K for maybe a couple of bytes. But I should show numbers, because we have numbers.
Yeah, you have to have an overhead slide.
Yes.
And then, because that would be one question for sure at the end.
Okay.
What is the size for your sector and page?
Excuse me?
What is the size of each sector and each page?
I mean, the sector as an identifier is to be four bytes.
No, the size of the sector is 5 bytes.
Oh, 4K. Everything's 4K. For the motivation experiment, everything's 4K.
So how do you do with request not outline outline with the page size?
We don't consider that.
You don't consider that. So you ignore them in trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they don't happen often.
Right?
No,
they do happen.
They do happen.
I mean, we could handle them, but that won't change much.
Well,
I mean,
you don't know that, right?
Sectors are always aligned along page boundaries.
Not always. If you all the...
I mean, maybe it happens 1% of the time. That won't change anything.
I agree, but you don't really know. Actually, I don't know if that 1% is real or not.
Well, I could check.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, but I think the answer has to be different, right?
How?
To say that, well, in our experience, we haven't found misaligned reads or writes, but it can be handled so and so. By either using sector-level hashing
or.
I mean, in general, I think the Q&A has to be a little bit more balanced, right? So you have to, instead of saying, this is what we do, and that's what, and stop at
what you're saying,
instead of saying, well, here's what we do, and I'm not going to tell you anything more than that. You can say, well, yep, you're right, and it's possible that can happen, and here is how we would handle it. We haven't currently implemented it.
Oh, okay.
I think that's, you know, even the questioner will feel satisfied, because if you tell them, oh, that's what we do, then he might come back with another question. Right? So we have to make them happy. But are there other comments or questions about the content?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, probably I had a question. Yeah, but just for that, you're telling me that all your offer system are log A. So wait, is duplication depends on that, or if I use a different one?
Can you repeat?
Okay, you're telling me that all the traits that you use come for a log-based file system. This duplication depends on that you're using this type of file system, or if I use a different thing, they're going to have the same?
I don't know. So I cannot say I don't know.
I mean, it is okay to say I don't know, but then afterwards you have to say something else,
yeah.
Right?
But you put it as a
say, I think
that is independent of the practice.
I mean,
no, what he's saying is that since you're using a log, probably you're writing many times to the same block, the same sector.
Right.
So probably you mentioned that, but at some point in the
So what would happen in the worst case is that because of the log is being used somehow as a cache and we don't see all the access, but actually we do. We will end up seeing all the requests.
What is the file system used in the three setups you mentioned?
What is
it? The file system, yeah.
For replaying?
No, for the, you have three setups, like the biovirtual machine, the
At least for the homes, I think it's a mix of EXT3 and Riser. You were using that time?
Yeah.
Riser first. For the web VMs, it's EXT3. And for the mail, I don't know.
The mail was on Solaris?
No, it has to be Linux because we're tracing.
So then it's the
HTTP. Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
I guess you could just make it simple and say they're all HTTP file systems, which are not log based. They're generally file systems. Which, but you're right.
But if
the same location is being overwritten, that does not affect content duplication. It affects repeatedly the same sector.
Yes.
So I have a follow-up question, a big question. So it's about the general applicability of this idea. So do you think that you can generalize this to another environment? For example, it's not a virtualization-based space environment, but a general server environment. Do you think this can also give us some benefit?
Well, that would be the case of the mail server study. In that case, we had
other than the example you showed, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but I'm trying to generalize from that. That's all I can do. In that case, we had a very low amount of duplication, and we saw that we could increase the duplication by duplicating artificially some blocks that are part of the working set overlap.
Okay.
So for reducing idle times, you can do it, but for caching, in that case, if there is no duplication, most likely there won't be, I mean, content won't be more frequent than sector. So it will be the same as using a content-based cache. It won't be worse, but it might not be better than using a regular sector-based cache.
So this is very suitable for the virtualization systems, right?
Yes.
They have homogeneous systems.
Yes.
They are derived from the same like, image, and then they customize, and they run very similar workloads, right?
Yes. Yes.
But I think even for the mail server, you have some speed up, right?
Yes, but the speed up is mainly because of reduced I/O time.
It's not because of the duplication.
Yes.
Not because of
cache.
But in that case, you created a duplicate. Or they are naturally, they are already there.
Yes, but creating duplicates won't affect things like, I mean, artificial duplicates won't affect frequency of content versus sector.
Right. But I guess you have to look at it more holistically. This system is composed of three techniques.
Okay.
Right. So in some environments, some of those techniques may not be effective. Right.
Which three techniques? I only remember the content-based cache and the selective duplication. What's the third one?
Well, the third one is the same as selective duplication. It's the idea of what's the name? dynamic replica retrieval. Oh yeah, dynamic replica retrieval, which is the base for the other.
You mentioned that you also had to make some corrections on that as well. You mentioned that you had to make some corrections on that as well.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I have a related question. So. The overall performance in that experiment, does that capture the overhead of selective duplication?
No.
You know what the overhead of that is?
The overhead is, it's copying 10 gigabytes of data 10 to 100 times, whatever you do. So it's a lot. It's high. And the excuse for doing such thing is that at night these are not easy.
Yeah. So my question is about how do you synchronize the all the duplicates? Is there some modification?
If there is a modification to one, let's say there is a list of duplicates. If there is a modification to one of them, you just remove from the list and add it to a new existing list.
I think he's talking about the on disk duplication.
About the on disk duplication. If that block changes, it's just free space again.
Exactly right.
Yes.
So how do you say what gets duplicated?
That's based on the observation we had.
But in the implementation, how do you do it?
Oh, okay. In the implementation, So we're trying this working set is really frequently accessed data. So what we're doing is we're getting this list of frequent access data from the, the thing is that we are getting that from the inner details of ARC,
So frequently access data in terms of content?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So and in the implementation specific is that, in ARC, before a page is being evicted from the cache, it goes through a second list, which is bigger. So we are basically using that list. So really at the end what we're doing is just getting a set of frequently accessed stuff and using that structure as our way to save it.
And how do you decide where to place this duplicate?
Yeah, this is really just a naive implementation to show our point. It's just all the working set copied several times all over the list. Just to show the point that you can use duplicates for duplicates.
So, for instance, if you have 10 gigs and 100 gigs disk, then you can get 10 partitions and duplicate that.
Yeah, I think the answer can be a little bit different in the sense that you could say, well, the way you would do it is you would track the changes in the working set and use some sort of an LRU mechanism to evict stuff from the scratch space.
Okay.
Is that really how you would want to implement this?
Yeah. Yes.
But that doesn't answer where to place
Well, in our experiments, what we did was we had 10 copies of the whole working set, and the 10 copies are spread all over the disk. I mean, a scratch state.
Because it seems like if you think of all the blocks with the same, or if you think of all the blocks having the same probability of being accessed, then you should distribute the copies equally in all these.
Yeah, but we are using the fact that uniformly distributed, but copying the complete working set, the complete overlap.
Right.
There are multiple copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then your disk probably consumption will increase.
Yeah, that's the trade-off. I mean, more copies, less file time.
So when you use the app for some counting to work, you just find the closest sector and read it.
I think I didn't say much about that. What we implemented really is just above the IO scheduler, before we send requests to the IO scheduler, for each request, for each IO, for each read, we pick the block that's closest to the current position of the head. And we estimate the current position of the head by saving the last NIO read, the last read that was on. And we did something, I mean, we didn't consider writes because writes can be cached. And something else we did is that by doing this alone, we can lose sequentiality. I mean, let's say you have a large sequential set of accesses. Mm-hmm. We don't want to move it. I mean, let's say this has a copy, we don't want to move it to somewhere else. We want to be sure that this complete thing is being intact, kept intact. So we check for it.
Mm. Yeah. So that's the scheduler
thing, right?
Scheduler
make sure
you...
His schedule.
Our schedule. This algorithm, we check that your algorithm, the scheduling algorithm, check
I mean, something, you see, like, we ask the scheduler. I mean, we see the scheduler's queue.
Well, actually, I think it might be a good idea to have some description
about
that, the second and third technique, how those are actually designed.
Yeah.
Right, the selective duplicator.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what we don't have to look into the scheduler queue. We can maintain that list of outstanding requests ourselves.
So
since you see all the requests, you can keep an outstanding list of requests that are in the queue. And
yeah, but I mean, the main thing I'm trying to say is really not that this is the final and best implementation. It's just some easy implementation to show our point.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I want to say, and I don't even want you to use this because it's just too simple.
No, it's just
too short.
No, but that's not the way you should present it. You give the audience the big picture, right? This is how I implement it. This may be awkward, maybe ugly. I don't want to use it, but I have a big picture. I have a beautiful design in my mind. I just don't have time to implement it. You know?
Okay.
You need to sell your stuff.
Okay.
So it should be a salesman.
Okay. But I don't want to sell this. I want to sell.
I sort of differ a little bit about the salesman thing. I think what you need to do is to talk about what you did, right? What
that's
your design
it.
Was.
Just that's it.
And the reason they have these questions is because you did not fill in all the blanks,
right?
So some of those details were missing, and that's why they had all these questions. So if you expand on your design a little bit more and say what you did, no one is saying that your design is the best, unless you claim it, right?
Well,
you're not claiming it, so it's fine.
Yes.
So just present the design, and so there are, the audience understands what you did.
Yeah.
Sometimes, they may not know how to do this thing, right?
Okay.
I agree. Yeah. The implementation will be different than the design. You spend more time on the design.
Okay.
I have a general comment. You have a deeper.
Sure, yeah.
I have a secret at home. So, just some general comments. First of all, we have a slide number.
Okay.
Maybe you have asked question, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it is a bad introduction. Mm-hmm. The thing study is motivation without introduction of what you are really doing, right? And I think with the marketing piece, you need a slide just to highlight the contribution.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, you say, oh, you have three techniques. Right? So what I got from your presentation, I only got two techniques. And then
okay.
Right? So you need to have a better instruction to interest people in this therapy, to make them excited at the very beginning. I was kind of lost at the beginning.
Okay. So what I was trying to say at the beginning, I mean, I don't know what to use to start with this. And the thing is that, I don't know if by mistake, but we are in the duplication time, and
session.
So really this is not the duplication, it's the complete opposite of the duplication. So I was trying to start by that.
Well, we are doing deduplication of IO rather than deduplication of content, right? You can think of it that way.
Well, yes.
So that's why the title is IO deduplication.
Yeah.
And there is a deduplication in the title of our paper.
Yeah.
Not that at least.
Yeah, so for introduction, I was thinking of starting by that too.
Yeah.
People, this is not typical IO data deduplication.
Yeah.
People, offline backup stuff. People, you can be. No, that's a joke. I won't say that. Another thing is that I wasn't sure how to organize the presentation. I mean, we have three observations, right? One technique for observation. So what we're doing is I'm dividing the presentation on, the typical stuff, you know, motivation, then design, and then experimentation. Well, I think you maybe go first with the first observation, then with the second observation, and then with the third.
Mm-hmm.
Would be that more adequate, easier?
I think that would be
easier.
At least I've been writing the paper the first way, the way you presented it. So for me, it'll be much more interesting the other way.
Oh,
but I think even for other people, it might be interesting. So you take one technique, show what you can do with that,
then
go to the next one.
Okay.
So you can organize it that way.
I didn't do it that way because it's not the typical way, but it's fine.
I think it's fine. I think whatever makes you more comfortable if you do it that way, you'll have to have all your workloads and experimental stuff right at the beginning.
Yes.
Right? You know, what was the metric that you used? And I think that's fine.
Okay. So in what order do you think I should present three things?
In the way that we have in the paper.
So
you start with the content-based cache, and then you have selective dynamic replica retrieval, and then selective duplication.
Okay.
And our observations are also ordered in that way.
Okay, yes.
Okay. All right. So my last comment is, whenever this acronym, we mentioned the first time spread it out.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know what ARC is.
Okay.
So you had some graph there where the number of writes are account for more than the number of reads. I think go back
the
a little bit. Yeah, there.
These are.
Yeah. So for instance in mail.
Yeah.
Right? Would you have that? You have a higher heat ratio when you have when you have read and write, you see that the heat ratio for content is worse.
Yeah, but this is not a heat ratio. It's not heat. It's recency. We use this.
Okay. Could you go to the other one?
This one.
Yeah. So for instance, there in the first one, WebVM.
Mhm.
Right? When you see the read for content, it's good, right?
Yes.
But when you see it for read and write, it's actually sector is better. So and your argument was that it's always better to use content. It's actually not true.
No. I mean
only for reads and in.
Yes, but I might not have said it, but yeah, it's only for reads. For writes, that's why we're doing write through cache. In right heat, in right means, you don't care that much. Rights are, I
synchronously.
Not just
but
that,
yeah.
I mean, writes always come with new content, so you cannot
no,
eliminate
no,
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I actually was thinking, does, I mean, does it make sense to talk about content-based cache when there is a write coming?
Okay, the thing is that for any type of cache, a write
okay.
heap or miss
okay.
won't do much different. I mean, won't do any different.
For writes.
So it might be a good idea. I mean, although we had all of these three different cases in the paper, for clarity in the presentation, you might just want to show the reads. Because the writes really don't, we're not going to use that later on. It's not material in the presentation.
Okay.
So if you just show the reads and talk about the reads, I think there will be less confusion.
Okay.
So if someone is looking at that like George and says, well, in the other way around is true for writes, and they start thinking about writes all the time, then they'll lose you, right? So it's better to just show them the reads.
Okay. And not saying anything about this thing I said, like write hits or miss.
I think that's a detail, right? I mean,
okay.
But what you can say, though, is that we only care about reads. I shouldn't say we only care. Reads are more important than writes,
yes.
because with reads, you can actually utilize existing data to serve IO requests. With writes, you cannot do that. You cannot eliminate write requests because they come with new content. So you could
yes.
say something like that and then just focus on reads.
Okay.
Yes. And even for the other graphs, that might be true. Right.
So at the beginning, I say, I mean, I give my reasons for why not considering writes, and they are not saying anything about writes ever. Okay.
Unless it is relevant to what you're saying,
okay.
right? I mean, unless it's relevant to your technique, later on they might ask you, well, you might want to talk about how do you handle writes in your design.
Yes.
And there it becomes relevant,
okay.
but probably not for these motivation graphs. And you can save time by avoiding to talk about these things.
Okay, yes.
So you also mentioned at some point something like work loop to disk deduplication. So what does
yes.
that mean?
Yeah, those terminology,
yeah.
I think you can just use the same terminology we have in the paper, because I think you
yes.
introduced new ones.
Yes. I thought it was easier to, but apparently not.
Yeah, so
I,
you had something called disk-to-disk duplication.
Yes. The thing is that, you know, I mean, to measure in duplication, you have a set of stuff, and you want to check for each one of these, how many duplicates there are, right? Things that if you use this set, if you use the complete disk as this set, that's what we call disk to disk. If you use the trace as this set, that's called trace to disk. So it's not this, I mean, we don't care about all the duplicates, we just care about the duplicates of stuff we use.
You should put that in a simpler way.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you can formally introduce the disk static similarity and workload.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because then
static
you talk about that all the time, then I have here what is workload static similarity. You never define it either.
Yeah, because in the end it
okay.
comes in the presentation.
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
better to use the terms from the paper.
Okay. Yeah.
And define them formally. I think we have very few formal definitions there. I think
yeah.
these are the only two ones.
Okay.
So you can spend time introducing them.
Okay.
So also you start saying there is deduplication, and say there is 2.6 deduplication factors.
Duplication.
Yeah. So
The introduction. The introduction is really. Yeah, I need to think more about what
to
say.
So actually, yeah, you're talking about deduplication.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so he said there is duplication,
mm-hmm.
and then and saying. There are 2.6 replicas of everything in the disk, something like that.
Yeah, so at the end for the introduction, what I was thinking of doing is first making clear that this is not regular data deduplication, this is IO deduplication, and then go with, I mean, the first stuff we observe first that there is duplication on this, there is this space, so that was the first question we had. I mean, we can use this for doing some.
Yeah, I think your introduction, the message that you wanted to convey is pretty good, but I think maybe you're missing some details in that
okay.
story,
okay.
right? So you can give some background to say, well, there are systems where there is a lot of duplicate, and especially in backup, and in those kind of systems it is important to eliminate duplicates. But then there are other systems where the number of or the amount of duplication of data is not overwhelming,
okay,
such as A, B, and C, right?
Yeah.
And then you say in these, we found in our experiments that, or in our work, in the workloads that we had access to, there was so much of duplication of content.
Okay.
And can we use this duplication in a different way? Because in these systems, elimination of the duplicates, it was not a concern. Right?
Yes.
So how can we use this? And then you can, you know, introduce your idea.
So, yeah, I guess that's a good introduction.
So you can have one slide just talking about this thing, right?
Yeah.
About how eliminating duplicates is important in some systems, but then it's not so important in some other systems which have duplicates, so, well, can we use such duplicates?
Okay. References that can use Venti. Maybe Venti is...
Which one? The data?
References for the, for saying that, I mean, backup.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you can use Venti because that was the first paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you use references in the slide? Do you put the whole...
Like you did FS2 and then at the end say FS2 is the such and such paper.
No, well, I mean, you can, it's tricky. What some people do is to just have like the first letter of the last name of each author,
okay,
right, and the year. But others have the name of the system, but sometimes there is no name for the system.
Okay.
So what do you do?
For example, for Satori, I mean, people would know about Satori. Right?
You need a related word slide.
Okay.
You need a related word slide because I think towards the end, maybe.
I'm not mixing, for example, Satori in the middle of my
sentence. No. I think it's much easier to have it separate. Because if you bring in Satori in between, then people might get confused what is Satori and what is yours.
Because that's the context for it.
Oh, probably you should put it at the beginning.
No, either way is fine. But what I'm saying is that you need to have a dedicated slide talking about related work, especially because there is very strong related work in this case, right? Or apparently related work.
Yeah.
And so you need to sort of clarify what is the difference of your work with the Satori work and maybe some other works.
Okay.
What are you saying, having a contribution slide?
Contribution slides are typically different because they just say what you did, what is the new stuff, but they don't talk about what was existing. The related work slide will talk about what is the closest to your work, what people have already done. So these are, in some sense, complementary. You would put everything in one slide, but that would be too much.
Okay.
But you do need a slide on related work.
Okay.
I have a question about your introduction. So the second point you mentioned is that there is a lot of free space.
Yes.
But I feel that not a very surprising, because I know on disk we have big space.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not very surprising. I just feel that you shouldn't give that too much weight.
Okay.
Because you are putting these two things on the same slide. One is you have a lot of duplicate, second one you have 40% free space. Right?
I think in your work it doesn't matter how much space you have or it does. But it's not just purely how come? Because if you have more duplicates, they are still have more choices. And more, even more, I mean, if there is no space, it's better to remove duplicates, right?
But then, I mean, that depends on the system that you are working with, the experiment with, right? So I'm assuming if the system just set up and you just create a system like a web server, of course you'll have a lot of free space. But if the new system has been used for years, maybe the accessibility will be less. So instead of saying that, I'm just suggesting building and saying the device is still cheaper, so we can always build a system a lot of free space.
Okay.
So therefore, creating a duplicate, we are not going to say we don't have enough money. Right? Instead of saying, okay, this is a fact. Every system has 40% of free space. Right? And people will learn. I mean, that's not a strong argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a more stronger claim than just saying, you know, usually there is free space and capacity is cheap.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Capacity is not a problem.
But apparently, it is sometimes some more backup.
Backup, it is a problem. Yeah, so I think that first slide, which differentiates the kind of systems that you are interested in, from backup systems, I think is very important.
Okay.
So you can characterize these systems. You can say, well, there is duplication, but not too much. There is a duplication. We found that there is duplication of content that is being accessed as well. Right?
Yeah.
Not just content on disk, but also content that is being accessed.
Yeah.
And these systems are not capacity constrained.
Okay.
So in the introduction, you can say what these are the kinds of systems that we are interested in. So once you establish that, then people will have perspective. They'll know what kind of systems you're talking about.
Right. Okay. But just like that, I mean, no reference to.
You can give examples. You can give examples like the workloads that we already have, and you also gave some examples in the beginning of the paper. The paper is accepted, right? So that part is already taken care of. So
I would like more secure.
Okay.
Can you go to the
more detail?
Excuse me?
Can you go to the next slide?
The first one?
Because I feel that in the beginning you move too far.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I agree.
You move too fast. So
yeah.
It's not very well motivated.
Yeah, about that and the amount of slides, I didn't have any idea about timing, apparently.
Yeah.
I think
on the details,
you
can shorten. What do you want to know?
No, you need to provide some details of the design. I think that was too brief.
There were some missing details
of the design that,
okay,
without which you cannot understand.
If he introduces everything, if he introduces something, he needs to explain. Otherwise, he could keep something.
Yeah, I don't know what.
So there's the other seller slides, the interval one. So you said you were going to talk about it later, but you never talked about it. One question, interval.
So first, how I have.
Another thing that I want to say about this slide is that I don't remember exactly what you shut off between the points. But if you're introducing your technique, I never capture that.
Yeah,
okay.
And if you're doing that, then probably Professor Spey, that is not a good, it's not good to start to say, well, we have a lot of project space, so this motivates that we can duplicate.
Yeah.
Because really it's not, it's like, well, probably duplication is good, is what you're trying to do now.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to say is, I mean, why not?
Then you should say, why not? Duplication could be good because probably the scheduler can use this and this. And the space is not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I think that question is answered by if you identify the target systems in the beginning slide.
Mm-hmm.
You say, okay, we are focused on these sorts of systems where capacity is not a problem.
Yeah.
In fact, there can be additional capacity, there is free space, and there are ways to creatively use this free space.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah. So just identify your target system very clearly in the first slide. So you say, okay, there are, you know, data deduplication, everyone is working on it, and it is really, really important. But then there are other systems where we can do, you know, other category of techniques with data deduplication.
Okay, you know, I'm very interested in this first slide, so I'll write like a script. I
highly recommend writing scripts for formal presentations,
okay,
because having a script will make sure that you have all your ideas very, you know, systematically organized in your head, because it will force you to do that as you write it out. And you'll also know what is the message in the specific way in which you want to convey the message all written on. I think that's really important.
Okay.
At least have a script for the first one or two slides if you can.
Yes. No, I'll do it for everything, but I was saying is if you can help me with the first one. I mean, the first I want it to be, I don't want to say something stupid. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, I can help you. I can help you with the,
okay.
You know, with the actual content of the
okay.
of what you're going to say. It's not a problem. There was one slide which I thought was not good at all. I mean, at least what you said in that slide. All the other slides were okay, but
okay.
for the block layer justification.
Yeah, because that we said that so many times, I was thinking not even saying.
You don't have to say anything, because what you said was pretty damaging. Because, because what you basically said is that doing it anywhere else is nonsense. It's either hard or not good at all, right? Because you can't do certain things. So it's sort of a negative justification which can offend people, because other people are doing stuff in the, you know, VFS layer, other people are implementing optimizations in the scheduler, and you said,
okay.
Well, all of those are no good, because either they are too hard or they don't work or something like that. So,
okay.
So I would just, you can just remove the 2 minutes of that discussion from your presentation
okay.
completely and just say, well, this is what we do, and
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. But on the paper, we say something like that.
We do, but that's a paper, right?
Okay.
And there we have sort of be careful. We can use the right words. When you're saying things, if you don't use the perfect words, when you're writing, you can always hit backspace and you know fix that not so perfect word so that it doesn't sound too rude, right? And I think even in the paper, we actually only talk about the positives of implementing in the block layer
okay.
as opposed to saying what is the negative of implementing in the other layer.
And also that you didn't mention what the other components are. Mm-hmm. So you just said, okay, why not here, why not here, why not here, so here. And then next slide.
Okay, so I focus on it's here and we're doing this and this and this. And that's it.
Yeah. You can say that our implementation is in the block layer. And I mean, in fact, you may not even need this slide altogether because it doesn't have much, right? I mean, the only message here is that it's block layer, there is a user level component, and there are some kernel level components.
Yes.
So if you want to show this slide, that's all you say.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of a introduction for going directly to the components.
Yeah, but now you have your components.
Oh, yes, exactly.
So if you do that...
Yeah, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yes, that's true.
But you do need a very clear introduction, the motivation, the high-level description of the three techniques.
Yes.
And discussion of your metric, right? What is the metric that you're using? There are two metrics.
Mm-hmm.
One is the cache hit ratio and the other is the disk I/O time.
Okay.
The other question is, why is disk I/O time the right metric? Why not application response time or something like that?
Well, yeah, for that, the honest answer again would be, we don't use application response time because it's phase-based.
So the other way you can sort of answer very, you know, diplomatically is you can say, for systems that are not I/O bound, certainly these techniques do not help, because we are trying to improve I/O performance. But there are other systems which are I/O bound, where the bottleneck is I/O performance, and in which case since we improve I/O performance, it will directly translate into application performance.
Yes.
So it is okay to say that our system should not be used everywhere, especially when I/O is not the bottleneck. This doesn't make any sense.
You're good.
So I've just been listening to a lot of talks.
But I can say that your presentation skills have improved tremendously. At least since I came here, which was about 2 months ago, that you have improved a lot. So feel good about that.
Yeah, and you haven't seen since 2007.
actually that got the worst with time. The idea that it's just data and you shoot data and people don't like it, that's the problem. But that shouldn't be the way.
Yeah, I think that approach is fine, but you also have to motivate why you collect the data, right?
Yeah.
And why you want to do all of this. If you just show the data, then people will have a lot of questions, right? Why you collect the data, what was the whole point? So you have to tell a story somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is your opportunity to tell the story, apart from actually writing the paper. If you don't tell the story, people are going to be, you know, sort of lost with all the data.
Yeah.
If the data makes perfect sense to you, and but someone who just sits there for half an hour listening to you, if you just show them the data, it's going to be very hard for them to understand.
Yeah.
You have to provide some sort of background and, you know, connect all the dots. Yeah. I mean, you have to think about this presentation from the perspective of people who have not read your papers. It is guaranteed that at least 80% of the people in that audience would not have read your papers.
Yeah.
Probably more. So you have to give them all the necessary background and everything. Right?
Okay.
You can increase the font size, that will do the trick.
Okay.
Yeah, the colors have to stay the same. It was FIU colors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so name and...
But you can put a blue there if you want. I mean, you could put blue for those. Instead of white, you can put blue. Maybe
yeah,
that will be...
You're looking at, I'm using me.
Okay. I
realized that it's one slice and it's my
Yeah. The one about the traces, yeah, is exactly the same.
That
was you.
That's true, that looked familiar to me.
And I will use the same trace.
No, mine is exactly the same. I mean, it's exactly the same trace. Everything.
Yeah, well, by the way, that
the
web VM is not correct, because one is webmail, the other is online. Because you say one is CS department and the other is online.
Oh, yeah.
One is webmail.
So you have to change
it. Yes.
Which one are the two of, is the webmail and
online?
Online.
Yeah.
Online is already
webmail is proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's weird. I have to check the paper because I copied that from.
Then paper is okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I can change and then you can copy.
Yeah, so okay, so I have a bunch of comments here. The one comment that I made was that in the beginning part of the presentation, I think Jinpeng had the same observation, that you were going too fast. So
okay.
You had to slow down a little bit and let people settle in into your talk.
Okay.
Because some people are, you know, still drinking their coffee while they're so they need to adjust to what you're saying. So
okay.
You need to give them some time and use that time to motivate yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, so the other thing which you could do if you want to save time is to summarize the observations.
Not showing.
I know you don't like to not show data, but I mean, if you're really short on time, that's one option.
Okay.
I don't think you will be short on time, but because we had a whole bunch of recommendations for you to add, that's one possibility. Because in the end, you can always say that, or you can summarize the values in the bullets and say there is, you know, the paper has a lot more discussion about these numbers.
Yeah, but at least I think that the value of the paper is, I mean, it's more on the motivation. I mean, that's the value of the paper.
Yeah, I think
is the motivation.
I sort of, for me, there was too much motivation. But now, when you split up these three different sections, so motivation is not all appearing together, I think you will be okay.
Okay.
Because what you had was a whole bunch of slides just showing motivation graphs, which is interesting data, but then I'm waiting for the actual material, right? How are you going to use all of this stuff?
Okay.
At that time, you know, people are thinking, if you spend the first 10 minutes talking about just the observations, then they might get impatient. Right? So, but if you spread it out in these three sections, I think you'll be okay.
Okay.
There was a couple of graphs where you had a log scale.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when
yeah.
that happens, you want to explicitly say that it's a log scale.
Okay.
Dynamic replica retrieval, I think it is important for you to use disk head movement somewhere in your description to actually say that you're optimizing disk latencies and things
seek
like that. Seek times, and you have to say that.
Okay.
Remove all the Linux terminology. For instance, end IO.
Yeah.
Remove
okay.
that.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just say request completion.
Yes.
Because there will be a lot of Microsoft people, and they'll not give you an internship although you apply. Keep using Linux. It is better to be more, you know, platform neutral. And there was, I think you noticed that, but there was some problem in some of the figures, and I noted that down.
Yes, the last one.
So Richard, in particular, when you put the hit ratio, the top one is always 1. So what does that mean, having 1 hit ratio?
Yeah, it should be 100%.
No, well, that's in percentage.
It's not in percentage,
no.
But if it were in percentage, that 1 would be 100.
No. Yeah.
No?
Yeah. It's impossible to have one. Well, you could have one.
So that's the probability of a page being accessed in the cache.
Yeah. Well, that's the definition of hit ratio.
Hit ratio is
okay.
Something over something.
It would be like the same data but normalized.
No. It's just that I wasn't.
Hits over token. That's hit ratio.
It's normalized, right?
There was one graph which was black and white and everything else was colored. I think that was
this
the dynamic. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah. So make that colored too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it's, just to be uniform.
And also label the line. I mean, the line
in
is
that,
different because, I mean, you
yeah.
mentioned it, but...
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, I realized that I'll explain.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, so if you have different colors for each line, that would be better. Also, you have to say what the boxes represent.
Okay.
Because it's not clear enough. Like I said, not everyone read the papers. So.
Okay.
You need one slide for related work, one slide that talks about overhead.
Yes.
Contribution.
You need to talk a little bit, when you talk about selective duplication, you have to talk about what gets duplicated. You say the frequently accessed content, looking at the arc shadow list or whatever it is.
Okay.
You can say that. Put the slide numbers in. There's one slide where y-axis should be reuse distance instead of hits or something like that. In the recency slide.
The one I got in the
tweets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, so again, that one, you mention it there, but then you don't say anything else about it, the intervals one.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, does the these working set intervals stuff that we use for
what's that useful for?
This overlap stuff that's being duplicated. That's the stuff that we duplicate.
Yeah, another suggestion is avoid saying stuff.
Okay. That good one?
Yeah, I think being more formal is certainly will work in your favor. The question and answer, you have to be a little bit more diplomatic.
Okay.
The first advice I'll give you is that when someone is asking a question, let them finish whatever they have to say.
Okay.
Just let them do their thing. And then you can take a little bit of time before you, answer your, because that will help you be more diplomatic.
Okay.
Yeah, and another thing with the question is that if you understand very well the question, you can repeat the question just to verify that you're answering the right question. So, for instance, I think Eduardo was asking a question and you didn't understand, so you can probably repeat and say, okay, what you're asking is this.
Or if you don't understand anything, just ask to repeat
the question. Which is what we did. I think either way. If you want to clarify the question, sometimes if you don't think you understood the question perfectly, you can always clarify the question. If you don't know the answer to the question, it's okay to say, I don't know, but then you have to say something beyond that to show that, well, you're, although you don't know, you have thought about it. Then you think about it. Let me think about it for a second.
Okay.
And then you think about it. Then if you still your answer is I don't know, then say I don't know again.
Okay.
But at least you have to, make an effort to, because sometimes all the questioner wants is that, well, think about this thing. What about this thing? And then if you say I don't know, that's it. I mean, he has to go back to it.
Yeah,
you have to be a little more diplomatic.
Okay.
But I think when you're in that environment, I think you automatically will be. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Because here we are all, it's informal. You can say whatever you want, but I'm sure there.
Yeah.
I hope at least. I can't be sure. But
no, environment affects you.
Yeah.
Once you're in that room, you feel different.
Forgot to record the first
if this was my first presentation, this will be in fact.
What?